This morning, what I want to do is share with you a bit more from Romans, as we've been looking at recently, as we go through Romans on Sunday morning. And very interesting thing about this section of Romans, because it talks about things that we need to do, things that Paul says, do this, do this, do this. It's kind of a list of things. And today what I'm going to look at is bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. And as usual, the question that comes up is, how do you do that? How do you actually do that? And that's all part of following Jesus. So I was thinking about this, and the extent of persecution that I have had personally as a Christian, it comes to this level. Wearing a clerical collar at a convenience store, and the person working in the register did not know what I do, had no idea that I was ordained. And that's happened more than once. Beyond that, no one has ever told me I could not pray, or I could not read a Bible, or I could not attend church, or that I could not share my faith. None of that has ever happened to me. And it does, I know, in other parts of the world. But it hasn't happened to me, and I'm guessing it hasn't happened with you either. Now, oftentimes, if I'm talking about this with someone at this point in the conversation, they'll say, well, what about prayer in schools? They took prayer out of schools. Well, it's true, in public schools, there's not a public time of prayer. However, a student, a Christian student, could still stand in the building and pray for the school, or the teacher, or the principal, or the superintendent, or the other employees who are there. And that is not against the law. They're just not having a public time of prayer. Or a Christian teacher could do the same thing. You can stand in the building, be on school property, and pray. You're just not holding a public time of prayer like we have. We do see in America and other places around the world people who make a stand for a particular social justice issue, demonstrating for justice or some other kind of stand because of their Christian faith. They'll do that because of their Christian faith. The actual event may not be advertised as a Christian event, but people will go because in my following of Jesus, I want to stand against such and such or have justice for this or that. And they could be arrested or attacked or persecuted in some ways for taking that particular stand. And that's very important to recognize. And as you know, a heated issue today. What I want to point out about that is when someone gets into that situation for making a stand on an issue, that is not a blanket outlawing of any Christian activity at all. It is that person who gets that consequence for that act about that issue at that time. As far as I know, there is no blanket outlawing of the Christian faith in the United States. There are places where that goes on, where Christians get in trouble just for gathering and things like that. But as far as Christianity being outlawed, that just doesn't happen with us. And most of us, the level of our persecution is that we are looked at as irrelevant. People don't even know what we do. And people have tried to argue with me sometimes, and the arguments they bring about the Christian faith are so far removed from what we know as the truth, I don't even recognize what they're objecting to. We're people just... we make no difference to them. Make absolutely no difference. That's the level of persecution that I believe is going on in most of America, and most of us, if we have experienced that, that's what we have experienced. Now, what about us here, particularly at St. Francis? Some people might say, well, you know, the church is under some persecution because we are prevented from meeting. But we're not prevented from meeting because we're meeting right now. Here we are. And there are other means of getting together which are not outlawed or blocked in any way that we can do. We're still meeting during a pandemic, even if it's by Zoom. We're still singing and praying and helping others. I mean, you can sing hymns at home, and if your neighbor hears you, you're not going to be arrested. That's just not going to happen. Well, unless you're a really bad singer, then disturbing the peace may come into play. But nonetheless, it's not for the content of that. And we're helping others. Food is still going to the food bank. Other things are going on. We're helping our neighbors. Things like that are going on. And we do that because we're Christians. So if I am taking that view, which I think is right, then the question comes up, well, how do we apply this verse? Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. So what I want to do is bring this to a personal level in the way that you and I can carry this out in our lives right now and you know all the way through our lives. Because the level of persecution which we bless is the people who ignore us or find us irrelevant. That's the level of persecution that's coming to us. That's the level we bless. That's the general rule. The level of persecution you receive is the level of persecution you bless. The persecutors are you bless. So, how do you feel when you're left out of things? Or marginalized in some way? Or chosen last, if at all? And this can be at any time. Maybe when you were in elementary school and choosing up sides for a game, and you were chosen last. What if you were forgotten or skipped over? What if there is a group that's having a conversation and they never ask you what you want to say? Things like that. Or, you know, you're intentionally ignored, perhaps. How do you feel about that? What do you want to do? Now, that can happen to anybody at any time for any reason. But for Christians, it happens a lot in our culture. For example, judicatories will pass resolutions to send on to Congress or the legislature, and these resolutions make absolutely no difference of any kind. They're just almost irrelevant. And that's because we're seen more and more and more as irrelevant. So we are to bless the ones who leave us out, intentionally ignore us, forget us or skip over us, choose us last, if at all, or marginalize us in some way. Because that's what will happen to us because of our faith. And those who do that to us, those are the ones we bless. So how do we bless them? Well, there's a number of ways. And I think one of the most effective ways, it's first on my list here, is ask God to provide whatever it is that God wants to provide to that person. God has something for that person, and to ask God to actually provide it, that starts to change their hearts. Second, a very close second on the list, is ask God to show you what the Spirit is doing in that person's life, so that in some way you can join in. Ask God, what? You know, this person just thinks I'm irrelevant. That hurts a little bit, stings, but what are you doing in their life? And may I join in with that? And then third, maybe there is some way to help them. You know, the rest of that reading from Romans about doing good to those who hurt you, and vengeance belongs to the Lord and not to us. Very, very important way to go. Is there some way you can help them? Now, I think the question will come up, why do we do this? Why would we behave that way other than it says so in the book of Romans to go ahead and do that? Why would we apply it that way? Well, as we looked at recently, the sweep of Romans in that particular section, Romans 11 and 12, to be specific, give us some reasons. And Paul is very, very adamant there. God wants everyone to come into a relationship with him. And because God has made the way for all the earth to come to know him. Everyone, all throughout history, God wants everyone in that relationship. And God has revealed his greatness and love towards us, that the love that he keeps pouring out to us. He's actually revealed that in Jesus and in many other ways. And we do it because we're able to grow in Christ because of what Jesus has given us, new life in him. And when that's planted in your heart, what grows out of that is a transformed life, being like Christ. That's because that's what God is giving us. We can treat our persecutors that way. Because of all this and more, we have the capacity from God to see those who hold us as irrelevant in the way that God sees them. And that's what he wants us to do. That's his will, you might say. And as we saw earlier, last week I believe it was in Romans, we can come to know his good and perfect will. And that would be part of it. The power and the capacity that Jesus gives us to have an open invitation for those who think that we're irrelevant to know the one who loves them is beyond all we can imagine. But yet we carry some means of making that invitation. When we ask God, what are you doing within them? What do you want for them to have? All of that makes us more powerful than the persecution that's coming our way. Even the level of persecution that we have, which is usually being told in one way or another that we're irrelevant. Now, another thing that we can do is pray for those who are persecuted in other parts of the world. And we have done that from time to time. Richard is the chairman of the board, the president of the board of Kingdom Life Ministries, which operates amongst Pakistani Christians who are heavily persecuted. And you remember a few years back, we sent a sewing machine to a widow whose husband was killed just for being a Christian. We can pray for people in those kinds of situations as we get to know them too. And that will help us as well grow in our Christ-likeness and in our ability to bless those who persecute us. So I'd highly recommend that. You can probably ask Richard for some files or more information if you want to be a prayer partner for them. That would be a great thing to do. Or others. The amount of persecution throughout the world today towards Christians is can be very high in some places. So, here's the challenge I want to leave you with. Who in your life thinks you are irrelevant because you are a Christian? Is there anybody in your circle like that? Your family, your friends, former work colleagues, current work colleagues, whoever it may be, does anybody come to mind? So the next question is, ask God what he's doing in their life right now. What is God doing in that person's life right at this moment? And you can ask if there's a way for you to join in with that. Or just to have you encourage that in one way or another, whatever it may be, and then see where that goes. Maybe that level of persecution, of holding you as irrelevant, becomes the doorway for that person to come into faith in Christ and grow into places that person never would have imagined. So I leave that with you not only today, but in the future, if you run into people who think you're just irrelevant because you believe these crazy things, bless them. Do not curse them. And see what happens. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have drawn us closer to yourself. We thank you for the things that you are pouring into our lives. And we ask for those who think that we are irrelevant, that we don't matter because we